that going. Got that going. All right. We're trying to make a recording for the website as well as continue to do the Facebook Live. Again, we're so glad that you're here with us this morning as we're worshiping the Lord and hearing His Word. If you've got a Bible, honestly, we're going to be all over the place because we're in the Hearing God series. And this may be the last message in the Hearing God series. Might be one more, but honestly, this may be the last one. And so this morning, it's Hearing God Part 7, and it's Hearing God and the Holy Spirit. And it just comes down to this. Do you want to hear God? Then you need to get into the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit. There's two passages that basically give us a great deal of understanding on this, and it's John chapter 14 in John chapter 16. I want to read those to you this morning as we start. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Then we have John chapter 16, beginning in verse 12, where Jesus says this, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Now, in this passage, in both of these passages, it's happening actually as the Passion of the Christ is coming closer and closer, and He's in the upper room giving what is actually called the upper room discourse. Jesus had just told the disciples that He was going to be leaving them. Now, I mean, in all honesty, just like we would be, they were bummed and they were scared by this news. But this was when Jesus revealed to them that another Helper was coming, not just to be with them like He was, but actually to be in them. The Holy Spirit is given to us that we might hear God, and He's actually called another Helper. That word another means one who is exactly like Jesus. And He is going to be with them forever, and He is going to be with those of us who have received Christ by coming to repentance and faith in Him. He is going to be with us. He comes in us at the moment that we're saved, and He's going to be with us and in us forever. And this is incredibly important when it comes to hearing God. Now take a look at those passages again in John 14 and in John 16. Jesus said that this Helper, this another Helper, was going to come to guide us into all the truth. When He does this, He will not speak on His own initiative, Jesus said. What He's going to hear from the Father and God the Son, that's what He's going to speak, that's what He's going to say. It says He will disclose what is to come. And the word disclose means to announce, to declare, to speak it. And He will glorify Jesus. That means the Holy Spirit's really not all about talking about Himself all the time. He wants to exalt and magnify Jesus. And then He's actually going to disclose to us whatever He gets from Jesus. He's going to be sharing that with us. The Holy Spirit, guys, has something to say. Jesus said several times in His gospel, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He also said this in Revelation, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The ear we should have is the one that hears what the Spirit of God is saying. This is equivalent to being filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, or walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God definitely has something to say to us, and it is not to constantly speak of Himself, but to speak of Christ, to speak of what God is saying, and to lead us into all the truth. Again, though, we ask, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How do we actually hear the Holy Spirit speaking? How do we hear God? Well, one of the ways we can look at that is by looking at actually a passage of prophecy in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 11. If you got a Bible, you can turn over there for a moment. And in Isaiah chapter 11, there is a prophecy about Jesus and about how the Spirit of God worked in Him. Now in Isaiah chapter 11, we read these words beginning in verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Now again, this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be that shoot springing from the stem of Jesse. You say, well, what is that talking about? Well, Jesse was actually the father of King David, and Jesus was going to be the son of David. And so this is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes as the Messiah, which he has done. He comes as the Christ, which he has done. And it's going to, and it's speaking to us about how the Holy Spirit is resting on Jesus and what's happening with Jesus as the Holy Spirit is leading him. Now, we saw this, we see this actually in the New Testament in the baptism of John. The Spirit of God comes down upon Jesus when he's baptized and rests on him like a dove. And here in Isaiah, the Spirit is actually given seven names, which, by the way, if you know anything about the Word of God in Revelation, it talks about the sevenfold Spirit of God. And I believe this is basically how he's working. And so we have these seven names given to the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be a wonderful example of how God is going to speak to us. He is called, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Lord. That word Lord is in all caps in a lot of your Bibles. That means it's the actual personal name for God. He is the Spirit of Jehovah. Listen, when the Holy Spirit speaks, this is God speaking to us. He's also called the Spirit of Wisdom and the Spirit of Understanding. And what's really cool is these two are kind of seen together, the Spirit of Wisdom and Understanding. The wisdom just simply means to be wise, to see things as God sees them. When we hear the Holy Spirit speak, he is disclosing God's view of things. And you say, well, why would that be the case? Because as we just read in John, he's going to take what he hears from the Father and from Jesus, and he's going to disclose it, speak it to us. Now, he's not only the Spirit of Wisdom, but also of understanding. So the wisdom is when God is speaking, he's giving us his view of things. We are seeing the world from God's vantage point, not just from our own, which is very important for us if we're going to walk in the will of God. But he's also the Spirit of understanding. It's not just that this wisdom is coming to us, but it's also being given to us in a way. The word understanding is the Hebrew word bina, and it means to have discernment, the ability to distinguish between things that differ. When we hear the Holy Spirit speak, he will be seeking to help us have discernment so that we will know the will of God, what walking in him looks like, as opposed to walking in the flesh and walking according to what the world tells us we ought to be. The word has the idea not just of head knowledge, but actually of a practical knowledge how to live. So we have the Spirit of Jehovah, and it's God who's speaking to us. But then we have the Holy Spirit who is coming as the Spirit of Wisdom. He's giving us God's vantage point, God's viewpoint, but then he's also the Spirit of Understanding. He helps us understand how to walk that out in a practical way every day. He is also called the Spirit of Counsel and the Spirit of Strength. Here's that second grouping of two. The Holy Spirit wants to offer us counsel, but this is not just advice. It is counsel that is in keeping with the heart and the mind of God. How would you like to go to a counselor and know that that counselor, everything he's saying is exactly what God wants you to do? Now, this is beautiful because the Holy Spirit offers counsel to us that will help us fulfill God's purpose, help us fulfill our purpose in doing God's purpose and walking in his ways. But he's not just a spirit who gives you counsel. By the way, that word counsel was also used as the counsel of all the people that come together and make a plan for war. But it's not just the plan, and it's not just the counsel that we should hear, but he's the Spirit of Strength. God gives us the counsel, and then the Holy Spirit becomes a source of strength to us, the very strength of God. I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. The word used here is not just that of potential strength, but of actual strength, strength that springs into action. The Holy Spirit will speak to us, giving us the counsel, giving us kind of the war plans for how we should walk out our lives. And then the Holy Spirit is also there to grant us the strength and the courage to step into what God wants us to do. The last group of two is the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The word here speaks of knowing, that Spirit of knowledge. This is kind of an interesting word. Several commentators that I read spoke of this not so much as a knowledge gained by study, but a knowledge given by God. It can be described as kind of a knower that's inside of us. We just know. And I know that may not be comforting to some, but some of us who actually have been walking with the Lord and some who know what it means to walk in the Lord, they understand what we're talking about. You come upon certain situations and it's like, just, you know, this is right, or you just know this is wrong. It's not that you made it up yourself. I'm sure it comes from years of walking with God, years of being in the Word and everything, but it's like your knower just goes off and you know. But what is in combination with this is, it is the spirit of that knowing, and it is also the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So what happens is, as we know, we also experience the fear of the Lord. Now, this is not some kind of your cowering kind of fear. It means to respect God, to honor God, to want to give Him the glory and the honor He deserves. What you're fearing is, you're fearing displeasing Him, not because He's going to haul off and backhand you upside the head. You just realize He's so wonderful. He's so awesome. He's saved me. He's given me His love. Why would I want to displease Him? I greatly am concerned that I don't displease Him. So as God gives you that knowing, He also gives you that sense of, and I love Him so much that I don't want to step outside of what He does. And what we have here is this work of the Spirit that was in Jesus. Now, just going on real quick. God was the one who was speaking to Christ as the Holy Spirit was working in Him. God was giving Him wisdom, seeing vantage point, seeing the world from God's vantage point, and then understanding how to walk it out. He was giving Him counsel, the very plans of what He ought to do, but then strength to walk it out. And then He was giving Him that knowing, and then that sense of the fear of the Lord that He would walk in it and please God. So this is the way the Holy Spirit was doing. Now, what did it result in? Well, it resulted in these things. And I'm sorry, I just did something weird to my iPad. Okay. The results of the Holy Spirit working in this sevenfold way is this. We will delight in the fear of Jehovah. Again, this won't be a slavish, terrified fear. It's just when the Spirit of God works in us and speaks according to wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowing, and the fear of God, what we're going to do is delight in fearing God. I know that sounds weird to some of you because you're thinking, fear and delight, how can that be the same? Remember, this is a sense of wanting to honor and to glorify God. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times where the fear of the Lord comes upon me and that delight is there. And then there are other times the fear of the Lord comes on me and I'm scared. And you're like, well, Pastor, I thought you said, yeah, here's the difference. When I'm delighting in the Lord, I want to do His will. Sometimes I have a bent to want to do my own thing. And when I have a bent to want to do my own thing, there are times where that does not match up with what God wants me to do. So how can I choose the right thing? Well, honestly, the fear of the Lord comes on me. Don't do something dumb. You know, hey, John, don't make a huge mistake. This is not good. And in that point, the fear of the Lord moves me away from the sin. And then my heart wants to delight in God and wants to obey Him. Now, we will delight in the fear of the Lord. It also says we won't judge by what our eyes see. We won't live by the normal perception and be subjected to the way that the world tells us we ought to live. And guys, you know, since people are kind of watching a lot more TV and a lot more media, you need to know that thing's trying to affect you in how you think and what you're going to do. And let me say this, don't live by what your eyes see. You're going to learn to live in such a way that you will be subject to what God is working, what God is disclosing, how God is speaking through His Spirit within us, through His Word, through His leading, and having us walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh in the ways of the world. We no longer can take our world in merely a visual way and take it as fact and take it as, hey, this is exactly how I ought to live my life. Our eyes can deceive us. I used to do this old thing with my kids when I would talk about our eyes deceiving us. I don't have a pencil. But when you take a pencil and you kind of move your hand up and down with that pencil, it looks like the pencil is rubbery and it looks like it's got curves in it. But then I would stop and show it to my kids. And I would say, what does that look like? And I said, it's a straight pencil. And then I would just start doing this. And I would say, now what does it look like? He says, it looks like it's curving. It's rubbery. And I said, that's why you don't live by just what your eyes can see. Your eyes can be deceived. There are magicians out there who they're all about sleight of hand. They're all about having you watch something that they're not doing, you know, or that they're doing so that you don't see what they're not doing. They're illusions, and they're ways where your eyes are tricked. And so we need to be careful not to judge by what our eyes see. It also says he won't make decisions by what our ears hear. Now, guys, you know as well as I do, and I watch a lot of news. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes, honestly, I get done watching like an hour and a half of news, and I want to wrap myself up in a garbage bag and just peer out the top and hope everything will go away. That's when I'm not to live by what my ears hear. There are times we need to realize that our decisions need to be made in accordance with the Holy Spirit's guidance. We hear things each day. We hear them with our physical ears. When we learn to walk by the Spirit and in the Spirit, we will no longer trust just what our ears are going to hear. I mean, we're going to hear stuff. Let me say this. You are going to believe certain things your eyes are seeing. You are going to believe what your ears are hearing. It's just, it's going to start going through a filter. And the filter is what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about what is the truth. And so we will no longer want to live just by what our eyes see or just by what our ears hear. We're going to want to live by the choices of what God is communicating to us and what he's saying. Now, here's where it's going to get fun, okay? I just dealt with kind of the theological aspect of this. What does this look like in everyday life? How can I build a heart that hears what the Holy Spirit is saying on a regular basis? How does this happen, Pastor John? Well, first of all, you need to realize I'm not the expert, but here are some things that I've learned over the years and honestly had people way godlier than I am teach me, and I'm so grateful for what they've done. I'm so grateful for God's mercy in having them in my life. I'm going to talk to you about four things. Number one, you need to have a daily time alone with God where you get in his word and where you talk to him. Jesus said this, and it's really fascinating. It's the only thing he really said about where we should pray. He said where we shouldn't be on the street corners praying, trying to get everybody's attention. But he said this, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, one of the reasons we do that is we can be distracted. You know, one of the things that I really struggled with at times with the younger generation with my own kids was they would be doing schoolwork and then they would have like a TV show on over here and then music on over here. And they would be like, I can concentrate better. And I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't believe to this day they could. I believe that they learned to live with certain levels of distraction. If you want to hear God, you're going to have to get to the point where you just get alone with him. And here's the scary part. You're going to have to get quiet in his presence. And in our world, people don't like to be quiet. I think, you know, why do they like to be quiet? Because it scares them at times to be quiet. A lot of people call this time alone with God your quiet time. Look, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, gave a demonstration of this. His need for quiet, his need from getting away from everything, slipping away from the world and being in a place where he's listening to God. And he's allowing God the Father, God the Holy Spirit to speak to him. It just basically says this in Luke 5:16, but Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says this, the Lord God has given to me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. And then it says this, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. We need to get to that place where we get away and we listen to God. We take his word, we get in his presence, and we say morning by morning, God, awaken me so that I'll listen like a learner. I want to hear what it is that you're trying to say to me. Listen to Psalm 119:147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Proverbs 6:20 verse 22 says, my son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. By the way, what was that teaching supposed to be? It was the Shema. It was teach him on the road, teach him in home, teach him when you go out, teach him when you come in, teach him in every conceivable place, and talk about the things of God with your kids. Teach them the word of God. And then he says this in that proverb, bind these things continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. And here's what happens. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And I love this one. When you awake, they will talk to you. You know what God's word does? If we'll start putting God's word in our life on a regular basis, and I'm not saying, you know, what I am saying is this: start reading it. Start reading it cover to cover. But, you know, if you're a brand new Christian, I would just suggest you start in the New Testament and read it. And then read it again. And then as you get parts of it that really speak your heart, things that just seem to be important, talk to older godly people that'll tell you important verses it would be good for you to learn and to memorize and to have in your mind. Learn those things. Listen, we will not have a listening ear to God. One of the things that it said in that Proverbs passage is, when you walk about, they will guide you. The Word will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there to bring that Word to your heart to help guide you in circumstances. But the one that I love the most in that Proverbs 6, 20 through 22 is this: when you wake up, they will talk to you. The Word of God is going to begin speaking to your heart. It's going to begin speaking to your life. And by the way, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? He wants to speak to you. One of the ways He's going to speak to you, He's going to speak to you through God's Word. In fact, I believe it is the most effective, best way to hear from God the Holy Spirit on a regular basis is to be in the Word of God. If we do not have a listening ear, if we don't regularly practice listening to God in times alone with God when there aren't any distractions around us, we're going to wind up having a very hard time hearing Him when there are tons of distractions around us. You say, well, give me an example. Okay, Jesus comes to Mary and Martha's house. And Jesus is there to teach the Word of God. He's really not there to have a big dinner party. Mary sits at Jesus' feet, and in rapt attention, she starts listening to everything that the Lord is saying. Now, the actual scripture tells us that Martha was distracted by all of her preparations. Martha went in, started messing with the food, started messing with stuff, and she was getting all this together, and then she would come back in, wasn't hearing what the Lord said. In fact, her focus wasn't even on the Lord. She was annoyed at her sister. She's got a second distraction. Mary, get up and help me. And then before it's all over with, she gets mad at Jesus. And she comes to Jesus and she said, Jesus, would you please tell my sister to get off her little fanny perpendicular, get up and help me with getting ready for the party that I've got coming for you. And what is it that Jesus says? He says, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by so many things, but only a few are necessary. And then he looks at her and this has got a sear through her. He said, really only one. And then he probably just looked down at Mary and said, and she's chosen the part that's not going to be taken from her. In other words, the one doing the right thing was Mary, who was getting away from the distraction. Jesus was speaking. It's time to just set other things aside and hear what Jesus has to say. And that's why we set those times aside to be alone with the Lord, because we want to get into the habit of hearing what it is that God wants to say. We want to get into the habit of being able to quiet our soul, quiet our spirit in those times together, so that when it gets crazy out in the world, we can remember how to quiet our soul and listen for a moment to hear what the Holy Spirit would guide us to say. Or He may be speaking and we're so distracted we don't even hear what it is He's trying to say and how He may be trying to warn, what He may try to instruct us with, what He may give us to say in that moment. Well, the second thing is this. You know, we need to get in time alone with Him. And then the second is we need to learn to hear His voice. And you're like, Pastor, isn't this what that whole thing is about that you're teaching? No, listen, that may sound strange to us, but the truth is when we first come to the Lord, we're really not used to listening in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to the Spirit of God as He is speaking within our spirit. We're not used to that yet. We don't know how it works. Let me give you a great story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. It happened at that time that Eli was laying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. That the Lord called to Samuel and said, and Samuel said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called to Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel. Isn't that neat? Guys, we're going to have to learn what it means to listen to God. There are going to be maybe thoughts that are in our head that we just kind of think, well, they're just kind of there. I always teach people when I try to counsel with them, not every thought that's in your head is your own thought. You have thoughts that can be placed by the world. You have thoughts that can be placed by other people. You can have thoughts that honestly come from the evil one when he suggests or a spirit suggests something to you. And those things are horrible things usually, or things that might not be wise. But there's also ways in which the Holy Spirit speaks with our heart. There are ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and then that is actually comprehended in our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, I taught this week in teaching Philippians that you have our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and it's trying to be affected by the world and what it says, but then the Holy Spirit is seeking to speak to our soul as well, speak to our mind, speak to our emotions and calm them or stir them, and then speak to our will saying, this is what you should do, do it. And we need to get to where we can actually hear God and understand that when certain things are coming into our mind, we need to listen. So this, you know, Samuel didn't know God's voice yet. He thought it was Eli calling him, and Eli wasn't saying anything. God was speaking to Samuel in his spirit. Now, you say, well, Pastor John, how do you help this? I mean, how do you get to where you do this? Well, let me say to you, I believe one of the key things you could do that would really, really heighten this in your life is delight in God's word by memorizing, but not just memorizing, meditating on Scripture. It is probably the greatest aid in this process. There are promises for it. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is what? In the word of the Lord. And in the word of the Lord he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. His leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does, he prospers. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, there's a promise right there. God will bless us if we will meditate on his word. We don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We don't walk in the path of sinners. We don't sit in the seat and listen to scoffers. No, our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law we meditate day and night. Well, what's meditation? You take that word and you mull it over again and again and again. The world tells us meditation is get everything out of your mind and just become this empty, open thing that's just available in your meditation. Let me say to you, that has nothing to do with biblical meditation. In fact, that could be dangerous. Biblical meditation is this. You take the word of God that you've hidden in your heart, that you've delighted in, and you start mulling it over. You start thinking about it more and more, and you start meditating on every word, every phrase, and you begin to just allow God to bring everything out of that verse to bless and build up and strengthen your life. What did God say to Joshua? "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success." This is what God said to Joshua when Moses died, and suddenly the full weight of all of Israel fell upon Joshua to be their leader. And what's fascinating is he didn't say, "Take this class, Joshua, or learn how to do this, Joshua." He said, "Joshua, the number one thing that will bless you is if you will meditate on my word. It will bring you success." Listen, if we want to learn to hear the Holy Spirit is here to be our teacher. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us into all truth. Do you know what Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer, his high priestly prayer? He said, "Lead them in the truth." And then he said, "Your word is truth." So if the Holy Spirit is here to lead us into all the truth, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking more than anything you could ever imagine. The Word of God. So if you begin to read it daily, learn to get quiet in God's presence with it, you begin meditating on it and you begin letting it fill your mind and fill your life, you will wind up being blessed. You know, I read in a book this week, and I wish I had brought a glass with me, but this guy made a comment. He was talking about meditation. He was talking about having the Holy Spirit speak in your life. And he said, how do you get all the air out of a glass? I mean, you can turn it over and the air's still in there. You can shake it around. The air's still in there. You can blow in it over and over again. The air's still in there. In fact, you're creating more air. If you got bad breath, you're creating bad air in the glass. Okay? Well, what do you do? How do you get all the air out of a glass? And then he said, I set the glass down and I take a pitcher of water and I fill the glass with water. You fill it with something else. You fill it with water, and guess what happened? All the air is out of the glass. I immediately began to think of the number of times, and I know none of you have ever experienced this because you're way too spiritual. You're not like me. Have you ever had that moment where you have something that is just stuck in your brain? It can be a song. We call those earworms. I don't know why. That's kind of gross. But you got these things that happen. Or you have these thoughts that are just in your head and you just can't seem to get them out. Listen, some of you may be struggling with this. This COVID-19 thing is freaking you out. And it's like morning, noon, and night. You're just terrified of what could happen in the midst of this. And let me tell you, God doesn't want you living in that kind of terror. So how do you get the thought out of your mind? I don't know. How do you get air out of a glass? Well, you know what's interesting? The Word of God is called the water of the Word. So you got those thoughts all in your mind. Why don't you fill up your mind with the water of the Word? And as the Word fills you, the thoughts are going to go out. Somebody said to me one time when I was talking to him about this, well, how long do I have to keep thinking about the Word? I don't know. How long is the thought still in your head? You know, just keep filling it, keep filling it, keep filling it. I'll say this, I believe in a personal devil. If the devil kept putting thoughts in my mind and all I would do is keep bringing the Word of God to it, I would quit putting that in that guy's mind. But here's the other thing. Just let the Word of God, and you know what Scripture tells us, let the Word of God dwell within us richly. I mean, think about these things. We need to delight in God's Word in this way, meditating on Scripture. Here are some of the things that God said in His Word. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. It says you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontals for your forehead. You'll write them on the doorposts of your heart and your gates. What God just told us is this. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. And then these words ought to be on your heart. You need to teach my word to your kids. You need to speak of it when you're walking, when you're coming home, when you go into the house, when you leave the house, when you get up, when you lie down. All these times, it needs to be like something on your hand. It needs to be something on your forehead. If God wasn't telling them to actually write stuff on their hand or their forehead. That's what the Pharisees did later, and they all boasted about how big their little box was on their forehead or how big the box was on their hand, and that just became a source of pride. But what we are talking about is taking the Word of God and putting it in your life, putting it in your heart, teaching it to your kids. It's like it's something written on your hand. It's like something on your forehead. I mean, what have we been told during COVID-19? Don't touch your face. What do we all want to do? Touch our face. Because we're not that disciplined. It's something we just do normally. Well, what would you do if you felt something on your forehead all the time? You'd be reaching up to figure out what's on your forehead. If it's the Word of God, it would remind you of the Word over and over and over and over again. Psalm 119:11, your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Proverbs 4:4-9, then he taught me and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Listen, this acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will guard you. Love her, she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is what? Acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, she'll exalt you. honor her if you embrace her. You know, she'll honor you if you embrace her. She'll place on your head a garland of grace. She'll present you with a crown of beauty. It's awesome when you begin to think about the things that God will do and the ways that God will bless us if we start getting that word, letting it be in our life. You know, like it says here, you know, don't forsake it, guard it, love it, watch over it. You know, get wisdom from God's word with all my acquiring. Get understanding, that way of walking it out once we have it. Prize it, honor it. What's going to happen as you do that is God's going to place on your head a garland of grace. Your mind's going to be filled with thoughts of His grace. And then secondly, she's going to put on you a crown of beauty. It's like you're going to know the victory that God has in store for you, but you're not going to know it by just going to church or by doing religious things. This is going to happen when we get in the Word, we begin cooperating with God's Holy Spirit, wanting that Word in our lives, wanting it so the Holy Spirit, you know, memorizing it, meditating on it so that that Word begins to fill our lives. And when we get an earworm, when we get a thought worm or whatever in the world that is, we begin to say, oh, how do I get this out of this glass? You can pour the Word in it. Meditate on the Word. Anyway, Jeremiah said this, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me the joy and the delight of my heart, for I've been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, one of the things that some of us are missing during this time, we're missing our comfort food, right? We can't go to a restaurant. Can't go to the Chick-fil-A and eat Christian chicken. You can't go somewhere else and, you know, eat their stuff. You can't go to the place that you normally get a burger. You can't go to the place where you normally get something else. People, I had somebody the other day, they asked him what his five favorite restaurants. All five of them were Mexican restaurants and four of them were the same restaurant. I think that guy likes Mexican food, you know. So what is he going to do when COVID's over? I think he's going to find probably that one restaurant that was on there four times, and he's going to that restaurant. There are people talking about Chinese food. They miss their Chinese food. They miss being able to go eat that. Let me say this. Okay, we can't go to all those places, but we could go to the Word of God, and we could find His words there, and we could eat them. I don't mean eat your Bible. I don't mean eat paper. That's not good for you. You know what he's talking about? Consume them. Eat them. Let them become the joy and the delight of your heart. Because if you're a Christian, here's the truth. You are called by His name. Well, we got so far. Have that daily time alone with God where you learn to get quiet. Learn that time to hear His voice. And by that, I think one of the biggest things you could do in that is meditation. Number three, learn to wait on the Lord. Some of you are not going to like this one. And at times, I don't like it either. Okay? But we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Now, when the word wait on the Lord is used in the Psalms, that word wait is almost always the same word. Now, when I was in seminary, I had to do these Hebrew expositions. Well, one of the Hebrew expositions that I thought about doing, you could pick. Well, I picked the Psalm where it talked about waiting on the Lord over and over and over again. Now, here's what's awesome. That word is a Hebrew word picture. And it basically is a picture of this massive oak tree. And this oak tree has this little vine that just not sure where to go. And what happens is that little vine just follows that oak tree and hugs as tightly to that oak tree as it can. And it finds its direction and it flourishes as it clings to the tree. Saints, we're the vine. Our Lord God Almighty is the tree. When we're waiting on the Lord, and by the way, some people think waiting on the Lord is, okay, I'm just going to wait on the Lord, and they just don't do anything. That's not waiting on the Lord. That's just sitting around not doing anything, okay? And then you're blaming God by saying, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, the Lord's waiting on you. What? To do what Scripture talks about when it says waiting on the Lord. Are you clinging to Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you finding that direction? Are you realizing I need to have that intimate relationship? I need to grow in respect to where God's going and what He's saying. And you just begin seeking Him in those things. Okay, you're wanting an answer on one issue and that answer doesn't seem to be coming. Then cling to Him like you've never clung to Him before. Grow on Him. Begin to follow every other way that He's beginning to lead you. And I guarantee you, in time, that direction is going to become very, very plain to you. Listen, I want you to know this. God's not in a hurry. He's just not. And you'll learn this. Most times He actually wants to do a work in you before He's interested in doing a work through you. And at these times, it can be tough. Psalm 62:1-2. David said, "My soul waits in silence before God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken." By the way, that passage says, "I will not be greatly shaken." Sometimes you might be shaken. In fact, Hebrews tells us that God's actually going to allow a great shaking so that those things can be shaken, they'll be shaken. And those things that can't be shaken, we'll realize those things can't be shaken, and that's what we're going to hold to. In a time like this, God's shaken, isn't he? God's allowing things to be shaken. And a lot of people are kind of freaking out because they don't know what to do. And I'll tell you part of the reason they're freaking out. They've had their security over here, they've had their security in this, or they've had their security in this, and suddenly it's shaking like everything else. What we need to do is, in the midst of the shaking, find out that we need to wait in silence for God. We need to realize from him is my salvation. We need to realize he only is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. And when I hold fast to him, I won't be greatly shaken. There may be some shaking going on, but I won't be shaken in the things that are going to matter because I'm clinging to him and I'm waiting on him. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. "I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." How about memorizing that verse this week? How many of you are at the point of almost despair in the midst of all this? You know, there are communities. We're in Arkansas, and there's a community, the state just north of us, Missouri, as of Monday, is going to be in complete lockdown. And I think probably Arkansas is not far behind. And there are people that are just like, this is week three, and they're about to freak out. We need to remind ourselves, I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to start a phrase. I'm going to see if you guys can finish it. God is good. All the time, right? All the time, God is good. We say that, right? Do we mean it? Do you realize that God's goodness is at all times? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I would have despaired unless I had known, I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then here's what he says after that. That's verse 13. Here's verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. What do you do when you're in a time where stuff is shaking? You wonder if you're even going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the time where you need to hear, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take courage. Yes. Wait for the Lord. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. We're going to hear the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit is not going to come and speak to your heart the things of God, the Word of God, just because you say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, I need a word." Boom. Come on. By the way, why don't you get a hoop and ask him to jump through your hoop at the same time? Why don't you just treat him like he's a trained dog somewhere? Let me say this. He's God. He's doing whatever he chooses because whatever he chooses is right. And you know what? And I'm sorry, I know those kind of statements can sound offensive. But I want you to know, I believe my God is all wise, all knowing, all powerful. I believe he's loving, he's kind, he's gracious. And I believe this, I'm going to have to wait for him. And there are times I'm just going to have to wait on that word. And in the process, I'm going to grow closer. I'm going to be like that vine. I'm just going to grab him on as much as I know. And the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to get on with those things. Psalm 37, 3 through 9. Trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Hey, that would be a good thing to do. Trust in the Lord, do good things. Dwell in our land right now, and what do you got to do? Cultivate faithfulness in seeking God. Cultivate faithfulness in the few things that you can do. Listen, man, there's a platform out there called Zoom. Any of you can sign up for it, and you get 40 minutes of a meeting with anybody that you invite to come to that meeting. You want to talk to somebody? Talk to them via Zoom. We got these things. They're called phones, okay? We can communicate via text, and I probably just messed up the recording because that's what's doing it, but we can listen via text. We can talk to people via calling them. I know that's a crazy thought, but we can call them, we can text, and we can have these conversations, and we can be faithful to build people up and encourage them and love them as we're waiting waiting on the Lord. So trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Oh, how we need to rest in God and wait patiently for what God is doing in these days. Now, here's an interesting thing. It says, don't fret because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. You want to hear the Holy Spirit? Learn to wait on God. Learn to seek him. Learn to realize, I don't need to become filled with wrath and anger and just frustrated to the point where I'm just ready to bite somebody's head off because I think there are people that are not doing right. There are people that are doing evil. And you think, well, they just seem to be getting along just fine. Don't do it. Don't fret. It will only draw you into the same evil. But if we'll wait on the Lord, God will bless us. Listen, here's what Psalm 19 says about waiting for the word of God, and it says it repeatedly. Psalm 119:74, may those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait on your word. Psalm 119:81 and 82, my soul languishes for your salvation. I will wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word while I say, when will you comfort me? Psalm 119:114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Psalm 119:147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. And then Psalm 130, which is not one Psalm 119, but it's a good one anyway. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. There's a wonderful picture of not only waiting on God, but you also look to his word, and his word gives you hope. What is that? I hope something's eventually going to happen. No, I have a confident expectation that God is going to accomplish what he wants to do. Even in me, even in those who are around me, God is accomplishing what he has promised to do. Finally, the last thing, and by the way, we might also want to remember Saul. He didn't wait for God. He didn't wait for God's word. He became impatient and he actually said, I forced myself to do this. And it wound up leading to spiritual disaster in his life. Listen, don't force yourself. Last week we learned about Abraham, and God told Abraham he was going to have a son. In the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 16, Sarah begins to think, it's been 10 years, we don't have a kid. And then she actually says, God's preventing me from having a baby. I tell you what, why don't you take our maid and then I'll let you take her as the second wife and then we can get a kid. She'll bear the child in a way that I'm there to have the child and then the child can be called mine through her. By the way, you know what that led to? The Arab-Israeli conflict ever since. It's not wise when we think we're going to do God's will our way and we're just going to force ourselves to do whatever it is that we have to do. By the way, waiting for the Lord can also be tough, at least on our emotions. But when the Holy Spirit speaks through the word, we will be filled with comfort because his name is, you got it, the Comforter. Okay? Now, these are the things that we were talking about. You know, get that daily time with God if you want to begin hearing the Spirit of God speak in your life. Learn to hear his voice. Meditate on his word. Listen, learn to wait on the Lord and trust him as you're waiting. But here's the last one. When he does speak, respond to him. Some people want to hear what God says just so that they can hear it, and then they can decide, I don't know if I want to do it or not. I want to let you know something. God's going to speak to that person very seldom. And a lot of times what God does is he speaks to us, and we're kind of like, oh, okay, that was neat. Speak something else. And God said, I'm not going to tell you anything else. You haven't done what I said yet. If you've gotten to the point where you haven't heard God in a long time, maybe you should go back and find out what the last thing it was he told you. And do it. And then tell him you're really sorry that you wanted to hear him, but then you didn't obey him. And then what you might find is as you do that, God may begin to open up and share with you things again that he longs for you to do and things that he desires for you to do. Respond to him. Samuel responded. You know, every time, Samuel, he runs into Eli. Eli, what? And you can just see this old man waking up and going, seriously, what are you doing? He said, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. Goes back and lays down. Samuel runs up to Eli. Eli, wake up. You called me. Again, Eli's, dude, go. I'm sure he didn't say dude, but he probably said, Sam, go lay down. I didn't call you. Samuel goes back. He lays down. He lays down again. All of a sudden, God goes, Samuel. Samuel runs back over. Eli, you called me. What are you going to do? And the scriptures say Eli at that point discerned that God was the one who was trying to speak to Samuel. He said, go back and lay back down. And if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord. I love this, for your servant is listening. He goes back, lays down. God says, Samuel. Samuel wakes up, and this time he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I love those words. Speak, Lord. We want to hear what he has to say. But listen, your servant is listening. I'm not listening because I think I'm on an equal par with God and I can decide whether I'm going to do it or not. No. I'm in this because I'm God's servant. And when God speaks, I need to pop up and get busy doing what it is that he told me to do. Philip responded. Remember Philip? He was in the midst of a revival preaching the word of God, seeing a lot of people saved. Spirit said, go off in the wilderness. Go along this road. Philip, he's learned to understand when the Spirit of God is speaking. He starts heading down the road. He's heading down the road. It's the middle of the desert. And then suddenly he sees a chariot going by, and the Spirit of God says, run up to that chariot. So Philip, he's just chugging along next to the chariot. The chariot guy goes, he sees that the guy in the chariot, what's he doing? Well, crazy luck for Philip. He's reading Isaiah 53. That's not luck, folks. God knew exactly what he was doing. There was an Ethiopian eunuch in that chariot. He was in charge of all of Queen Candace's money. And he had just worshiped God in Jerusalem. And here he was reading Psalm 53. And if you don't know what Psalm 53 is, it is the prophecy of Jesus dying upon the cross and being resurrected. And so he's hearing this, and he's reading it, and he's thinking, I don't know what this means. And so he brings Philip up into the chariot. He keeps reading. And Philip said, you know what it means? The guy says, no, nobody's here to explain it. He goes, I am. God told me to leave a revival. Walk along. None of this happened, but you can just hear Philip in his heart going, God told me to leave the revival. Walk right along. Here comes a chariot. Run up to the chariot. Guy's reading Isaiah 53. I get to tell him about Isaiah 53. Wow, this is cool. When I listen to God, God will lead me into some neat stuff. Guys, here's the thing. We need to get to the point to where when the Holy Spirit speaks and the word comes to our heart and things like that, we need to give an expression to the impression the Holy Spirit's trying to make on us through the word and what he's saying. Now, let me say this. If it's actually not scripture that you think you're hearing, I think the best thing you can do is first take what you're hearing and check it with the scriptures. Because the Holy Spirit will never say anything contrary to the scriptures, ever. It is absolutely, unequivocally impossible for the Holy Spirit to tell you something contrary to what's written in the Word of God. Now, once you check it, get busy. Give an expression to it. Do whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing. Obey God. I remember one time, I'll give you just a couple things in my life that kind of came to me. One, I was at Auburn University. I was going to a church there. There was a sweet couple that was on staff. They had a baby. The baby had some difficulties. The baby survived. It's fine. She's a beautiful young lady now. But they were going to have an offering to help pay for some of the expenses that happened with the hospital. And here I am. I'm a college student, and I literally have $20 to my name. That's all I've got left. And I'm meeting with the Lord in my quiet time, and I'm thinking about the guys, their names were Brian and Kathy, and I was thinking about them, and my heart was just going out to them, and I thought, I only got 20 bucks. And in that moment, it was like I sensed that God wanted me to give that 20 bucks to them. Now, my thought was not immediately, I don't have 20 bucks. I mean, I just got 20 bucks, you know, that's all I got left. My thought was, no, let's go for it. And so I basically go out and that Sunday I give the 20 bucks toward that need. And then here's what's crazy. That Monday morning, by the way, I still had some food in the fridge, and I was much smaller than I am now, so it took far less food to actually feed me. And so the next morning I go out to the mailbox at the apartment complex where I'm living with the other guys. And I open up the mailbox, and there's a letter for me from Montgomery, Alabama. I don't know anybody in Montgomery. So I'm thinking, well, that's weird. Somebody sent me a letter from Montgomery. And I start looking at it, and it's got that little green in there, but I don't see any kind of a letter. And so I open it up, and I reach in, and I pull out a $20 bill, and there's not a letter. There's not anything else that's in that envelope except a $20 bill. And I just thought, as I was holding it there, I thought, well, that's weird. I just gave 20. Oh, I'm getting it now. But here's the thing. If they mailed it, they had to mail it before I ever gave it on the Sunday. So, like, God knows everything that's going on, and He does it. It was awesome. Let me tell you something recent, and then I'll close out for this morning. Recently, there was a sweet lady that I know from my time in Lockport, where I grew up. And she was going through a really hard time. She was having a hard time. She has some multiple issues that are medical. One of them just was she's diabetic and she needed insulin. And it's the kind where she has to have insulin shots. And she didn't know where it was going to come from. She didn't know what was going to happen. She was being told by people that she wasn't going to be able to get the insulin or buy it. And then she began to realize financially she didn't know how she was going to be able to do this. And she wrote and she just kind of let everybody know. And by the way, I have her permission to share this. I asked her. And she said, yeah, sure, it'd be awesome. And so I just prayed for her. I do what I usually do, and that is if it's Facebook, I don't want to do it on Facebook. I go to Messenger, and I do it where I'm just doing it to that person personally. Don't really want to be Mr. Godly on Facebook where everybody sees it and doesn't know if I'm godly or not. So I wrote her personally on Messenger and encouraged her, wrote some things to try to build her up and let her know that she was okay and everything was going to be okay. And then I prayed for her and asked the Lord that He would make a provision in some way and the Lord would just take care of it. So yesterday, I'm on Facebook and I'm just thinking some things and I see that she makes a post or some people were commenting on a post she made. And I thought, man, I wonder how she's doing. And so I get on Messenger and I write her a thing. How are you doing? What's going on? And she writes back, I'm doing well. And there's all this. And I said, hey, that's awesome. Just want to know. I'm still praying for you. Praying to God. She said, oh, let me tell you something. And then she gave the name of the company. I wish I could tell you the company. But she said, they told me, like I told my wife this last night and started crying. So they told me they were going to send me a year's worth of supply of insulin. She said, the only thing I need is some things that will help me check my sugar. That's just going to be this amount of money. And she said, you know, I can easily handle that now that this is taken care of. And we both just kind of had our little, you know, dance in Messenger moment as we praise the Lord for God's goodness. God allowed me to be a part of that in just a tiny, tiny little way to pray for her, to encourage her, to... And you know, I did it because it was a strange sense that I just need to encourage this lady. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit trying to lead me to do this. And here's the thing. And I was thinking about it later and I thought, you know, if the Holy Spirit, or I feel a sense that I need to do something that's going to manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and speak some kind of word like that to somebody, if it's something that I want to encourage them and be a comforter to them, you know, I'm going to jump into those things because that's who the Holy Spirit is, and that's what He wants to do. We all think that the Holy Spirit's going to come down in some massive display. Fire is going to be burning in our front yard with snow falling at the same time in the midst of the fire, and then God's going to say, bake a pie for Tom Johnson. And then we go, I will, Lord. And we fall and we go, pies shall be baked. And I think that's craziness. I think a lot of times the Holy Spirit is just moving in our spirit, wanting us to do these things, wanting us to minister, wanting us to love people, wanting us to show kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness. And if we'll just learn to follow as He's leading and follow Him as He's given us the scriptures, we're going to find ourselves led into all kinds of wonderful, awesome stuff. We're going to realize what hearing God is all about. It's about being in His Word. It's about memorizing His Word, meditating on His Word. And then it's about as He ministers the Word to us, we take it and it becomes the very foundation of our actions and what we do as we seek to live for Jesus. My hope is that you'll get in on this. You'll learn to walk in it. You'll learn to love it. And so what I want to do is just kind of close by praying. And then we'll be done. I apologize for being a little long, maybe a lot long. But then again, none of us can go eat at a restaurant either. So let's pray. Father, we just love You. We thank You for who You are. God, I thank You that You are a God who speaks. I'm grateful that You spoke through Your Word. And I'm grateful that you gave us the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to be the one who leads us into all truth. Your word is truth. He wants to teach us the truth. He wants to guide us. He is the anointing that we have from the Father. And just as he teaches you all things and leads you into truth, so abide in Christ. Oh God, how we thank you for your Holy Spirit, how we thank you for what he wants to do and how he wants to lead us and how he wants to guide us in a way absolutely consistent with your word. And yet, Father, many times taking us to places to where it won't say, pray for this lady or write this on Messenger or go do this for someone. And God, your Spirit will guide us into all those things as he leads us. Father, I pray that we will listen. We will want to.